Todd's Road Grace Church would like to invite you to listen to a sermon by our pastor, Todd Nybert. We're located at 4137 Todd's Road, 2 miles outside Man O' War Boulevard. Sunday services are at 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bible study is at 9:45 a.m. Wednesday services are at 7 p.m. Nursery is provided for all services. For more information, visit our website at toddroadgracechurch.com. Now, here's our pastor, Todd Nybert.
In Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, we read that this is Paul praying for the Ephesians, and this is what he's asking for them, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded. Now, what a thing to need. I need to be rooted. I need to be grounded. I will not persevere in the faith. I will not continue if I'm not rooted. This is something the Lord's going to have to do for me, or it won't be done. And if I am not grounded. Now, I want to try to deal with this subject of being grounded. Grounded is God's work. Peter said, "The God of all grace, who hath called us unto eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after that you'd suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you." That's the word. Settled, so you will not be moved. Settled, so you will not leave Christ. We read in Colossians 1, 22 and 23 that every believer is holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight, and his sight is the way things really are, if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved from the hope of the gospel. The writer to the Hebrews said, "We're made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end." Now, the only way that we will persevere in the faith, and understand this, the evidence of being truly saved is you persevere all the way to the end. You don't quit. "He that endureth to the end, the same shall be saved." And we only endure as we're grounded on the foundation. "Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, Jesus Christ." He is the foundation. Now, I wish I could express how I ought to, how that Christ really is all in salvation. He's the only foundation. He's all in election. That's what happened before time began, and the Scripture says we were chosen in Him, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. He's all in justification. His righteousness is the personal righteousness of every believer. He's all in redemption, when He had by Himself purged our sins. He purged them. He redeemed everybody He died for. They stand perfect before God. He was manifest to take away our sins. In Him is no sin. If I'm in Him, I have no sin. He's all in our regeneration. We're regenerated by His Spirit, and we're made to see that He's all. That's what you find out when you're regenerated. He is all. He is all as the object of our faith. We look to Him only. He only can cause us to persevere. He is the foundation. Paul warned about some in 2 Timothy chapter 2 whose faith was overthrown by false doctrine. But he said in verse 19, nevertheless, even though that happens, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. Now understand this. I'm not depending on my knowledge of him. I'm depending on his knowledge of me. That is the foundation. He is the foundation. Now, we can't possibly consider being grounded without thinking about the parable the Lord gives of the house on the foundation. So I would like to go back to Matthew chapter 7 and read a few verses of Scripture. Beginning in verse 21, the Lord says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And did you hear that? A lot of people use his name, Lord, Lord. But he said, just because you use my name doesn't mean you're going to enter the kingdom of heaven. The only ones who enter the kingdom of heaven are they who do the will. Not talk about doing the will, but those who actually do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. Now let's go and read in verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord. They'll use my name. Lord, Lord. Have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now they didn't think of their works like that. They thought their works were great. We preached in your name. Didn't we do your will? Why? We had works of power. We cast out demons in your name. Didn't we do your will? In your name, we perform many wonderful works. Note the quantity, many. Note the quality, wonderful. Oh, they had such a high opinion of themselves. They thought they'd done his will. And they're going to hear him say, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Now, he gives us this parable. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them. Now let me pause. What is he talking about doing? In John chapter 6, verses 28 and 29, they said, what must we do that we might work the works of God? And hear his answer. This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. That's the work of God. To believe the gospel. To believe that God sent him. And to believe that he did what God sent him to do. That he accomplished salvation. Now that's the work of God. That's doing the will of God when you believe the gospel. Not all these wonderful works that you think you've done. Have you ever seen that they're nothing but filthy rags? And looked to him only. And that's what he's talking about when he's talking about doing the will of God. It's believing the gospel. That's the work of God. These people had many wonderful works, but they didn't have the one work necessary. Believing the gospel. Actually relying on Jesus Christ only as everything in their salvation. They knew nothing of that. And that's why the Lord said, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I never knew you. Now let's go on reading. Whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock. The rock, Christ Jesus. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. Here's my rock. He saved me. Here's my rock. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Here's my rock. He by himself purged our sins with no help, no contribution from me. My rock is Christ died. It doesn't have anything to do with my works. Doesn't have anything to do with my experience. I don't look back at some time and think I must be saved because I felt this or I did that. No, all my salvation, my rock, is that who he is and what he did is all that is needed to save me. That's my rock, that he did it all and I did nothing. Now, with regard to the death of Christ, let me say this. A lot of people, most preachers, as a matter of fact, say that Jesus Christ shed his blood for everybody. Well, if he did, that makes his blood meaningless. If there's people in hell that he died for, no, there won't be anybody in hell that he died for. You see, the rock of the foundation of every believer is the person and work of Christ, who the one who loved me and gave himself for me. That's my rock. That's what I built my hope on. The truly wise thing to do is to look to Christ only. It's foolish to do anything else. Now, he built this house on the rock, and what happened? Rains descended. Temptations and trials from heaven. Floods came up. Satanic temptations. And wind blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not. Why? For it was founded upon a rock. That's why. Anyone founded on the rock, their house is going to stand. And everyone that heareth these things in mind and doeth them not, they don't believe. The one thing needful, they don't do. They might have all kinds of wonderful, great works and miracles done and preaching, and they make all kinds of claims, but the one thing that's needful, they never do. They never look to Christ alone. They don't know anything about him only being everything as their foundation. Nothing to do with their works. Him only. They don't know anything about that. Now, both these men face the rains coming down and the floods coming up and the wind beating upon the house. They both face the same trials. But the man who was not on the rock, his house fell flat. And great was the fall of it, because there was no true foundation. Other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. He only is the foundation. Now, there's a passage in Hebrews chapter 6 that gives more explanation of this foundation than I think anywhere else in the Bible. This is a very important passage of Scripture in Hebrews chapter 6. Now let me read what he says, beginning in verse 1. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, the ABCs is what that means, the foundational truths, let us go on unto perfection, maturity, not laying again the foundation. And he named six things: repentance from dead works, faith toward God, the doctrine of baptisms, of laying on of hands, of resurrection of the dead, and of eternal judgment. Now that is the foundation. Six aspects of the same foundation. It's not six different foundations. It's six aspects of the same foundation that every believer is to build on. And the writer to the Hebrews said we shouldn't have to be laying these foundations over again. If you're always laying the foundation down again and again, the superstructure never comes up, does it? It can't until these things become automatic. Now let's look at the context of why the writer to the Hebrews said this. He'd been talking about Melchizedek. And I have no doubt that Melchizedek, mentioned in Genesis 14, is Christ himself. And it was a theophany, a pre-incarnate appearance of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he met with Abraham, and he was talking about him, and he'll go on to talk about him more in chapter 7. But he spoke of that one who's called of God and high priest after the order of Melchizedek, of whom we have many things to say and hard to be uttered, seeing that you're dull of hearing. You're not quick to hear. Something's wrong with you, he's saying. For when for the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again what be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. He said, you don't have your ABCs down. For everyone that uses milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness. He's a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them who are of full age, who are mature, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And you can tell the difference. You know the difference between law and grace. You know the difference between faith and works. You know the difference between good and evil. Now, therefore, leaving the principles, the elements, he's not talking about leaving them for good, but not having to lay the foundation again and again and again. You know, if you don't learn your ABCs, you're not going to learn to read, are you? And this is what he's talking about. This foundation should not have to be laid again, again, and again. And he names these six aspects of the one foundation. And the first thing he mentions is repentance from dead works. Repentance is a change of mind. Dead works are any works you do before God saves you. They're nothing but dead works. Many people trust their dead works, and all they are dead works. They trust the things that they have done that they think will recommend them to God. Maybe they look back at a time when they decided to believe or decided to become a Christian or change their life and gave up this bad habit and started doing these good things. They think, I'm a Christian. That's a dead work. That's all it is. All works are dead before God gives you life. Repentance, a change of mind about your dead works. You don't trust those dead works to save you. You believe grace. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Now, this is fundamental. You see, your works have absolutely nothing to do with salvation. And if you even trust in any ability of your own that you contribute, if you even believe in free will, you believe you're saved because of your free will, that's a dead work. Well, I'm saved because I accepted Jesus as my personal Savior. That's a dead work. Any work before God gives you life and gives you a new heart where you're made to look to Christ alone is a dead work. Now, if I'm not straight on this, we are not on the foundation. And the second thing he mentions is faith toward God. Now, Jesus Christ is God. I like saying that. Jesus Christ is God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, a distinct person, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. Jesus Christ is the second person of the Blessed Trinity. He is God. God manifest in the flesh. And when we have faith, it's toward Him who is God. You see, everything we believe is predicated on who He is. And when you see who He is, you're going to believe He's successful. Faith toward God. Now, what is faith toward God? Faith is a complete reliance on who He is and what He did as all that's needed to make me perfectly accepted before God. I'm relying not on myself. I'm relying on Him. I'm not relying on my works. I'm relying on His works. I'm not relying on my righteousness. I'm relying on His righteousness as the only righteousness I have. I'm not relying on my will. I'm relying on His sovereign will. I'm not relying on my anything. I'm looking only to Him, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You look away from yourself, and you look away from your works, and you look to Him only as all that's needed to make you accepted. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Now, here's what faith is. I've already quoted a scripture once. To him that worketh not, you know you can't be saved by your works, but you believe on him who justifies the ungodly. You believe that what Christ did is all that's needed to justify an ungodly sinner like you and make you perfectly just in God's sight. Now that's what faith toward God is. To him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. Have you ever looked to Christ alone? Not looked to Christ alone and relied completely on him as all that is needed and all that you want to make you perfect before God. That's faith toward God. Now, the third thing he mentions in this passage of Scripture is the doctrine of baptisms. The doctrine of baptisms. Now, there, the word baptisms is in the plural, and there are several baptisms spoken of in the New Testament. There's water baptism, baptism by immersion, going under the water and coming back up. There's no such thing as sprinkling in the Bible, and you don't baptize infants, you baptize believers. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Water baptism. There's the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we read about it in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, and being filled with the Spirit. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when on the day of Pentecost, they were enabled to speak in other languages and preach the gospel in all kinds of different languages. And the gift of tongues was very real in the New Testament. Now, it ceased with the apostles because it says when they saw through the laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given. When people make claims of being able to do that today, they're not being honest. There's no speaking in tongues today, but there was then. There was then. And then there's the baptism the Lord talked about when he says, I have a baptism to be baptized with and how's my soul straight until it be accomplished. He was talking about that time he was to be immersed under the wrath of God. But the one doctrine of baptisms is union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I'm baptized, I'm saying, here's my hope, that when he lived, I was in him. When he kept the law, I kept the law because he did it as an us. I did too. When he died under the wrath of God, I did too because I was in him, eternally united to him. When he was raised from the dead, I was raised from the dead because I was in him. When you talk about Christ being baptized, he was immersed under the wrath of God because of his union with us. He took my sin and my sorrow and made it his very own. And he was united to me. He became what I am. He was made to be sin that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, well, I'm baptized of the Holy Spirit, given a new heart, regenerated by God the Holy Spirit because of my union with the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen to this scripture, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 11. Both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one. For the which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren, eternally united to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do I understand how that could be? No. Do I believe it with all my heart? The doctrine of baptisms. And then he speaks of the doctrine of laying on of hands. Now, is this talking about some man laying his hands on some other man and all of a sudden they're anointed somehow and start? No, that's not what he's talking about at all. He's talking about what took place in Leviticus chapter 16 that teaches us the gospel. We read in verse 20 of Leviticus chapter 16, and when he hath made an end of reconcile the holy place and the tabernacle of the congregation and the altar, he shall bring the live goat, this high priest, he shall bring the live goat, and Aaron shall lay both his hands upon the head of the live goat and confess over him all the iniquities of the children of Israel and all their transgressions and all their sins, putting them upon the head of the goat, and shall send him away by the hand of a fit man into the wilderness, and the goat shall bear upon him all their iniquities unto a land not inhabited. Now, the doctrine of the laying on of hands is the doctrine that God takes the sins of his people and puts them on his Son. And he bears them in his own body, and he's made sin. And just as truly as my sin is transferred to Christ and became He became guilty of it, and that's why he died, so his righteousness is given to me. God can do that, and that is seen in the doctrine of the laying on of hands. And then the fifth thing he speaks of is the resurrection of the dead. Now, the three resurrections of the Scripture, the bodily resurrection of Christ, the spiritual resurrection of every believer in the new birth, you have he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins, and the final resurrection. But you see, when Christ was raised from the dead, that means that everybody he died for were saved. That's why he was raised from the dead. Sin was paid for. Sin was put away. And because he was raised from the dead, I'm going to be raised from the dead spiritually. I'm going to be given a new heart. I'm going to be born from above through the gospel being preached. And on that last day, I'm going to be raised incorruptible, just like the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the foundation of my salvation is his resurrection, that he got the job done, that he did what the Father sent him to do, and the Father accepted what he did. That's my foundation. And the last thing he mentions is eternal judgment. Now, don't miss that word, eternal judgment. This is what I'm laying on. This is the foundation of my salvation. God is not bound by space or time the way you and I are. I can't be two places at once. He can. He's spirit. And I can't see tomorrow. He can, because he ordained it. As far as that goes, he dwells outside of time. And everything he does is eternal. Christ is called the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Hebrews 4:3 says all the works were finished from the foundation of the world. 2 Timothy 1:9 says he saved us. He called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which were given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. You see, all of my hope is because it's eternal, completed by God. I was justified eternally by what Christ did before the foundation of the world. Now, he had to come in time and die. I wouldn't be justified apart from that. But everything God does is eternal. He is the eternal God. And that's the foundation I lay on, that it's eternal. It's already finished. There's nothing that can be added to it. It was finished before the foundation of the world. That shows how little my works had to do with anything. It was done before I had any existence in my own experience. Now, what a foundation. Repent of your dead works. Have faith in Christ. Know your hope is union with Christ and the resurrection of Christ, and look nowhere else. We have this message on CD and DVD. If you call the church, we'll send you a copy.
To receive a copy of the sermon you have just heard, send your request to todd.nybert@gmail.com, or you may write or call the church at the information provided on the screen.